You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Sam Turner and John Babb. We've got Racing on the Flatter Air, accompanied by National Hunt Racing from Sedgefield and Southwell on Tuesday afternoon, and evening action under the floodlights at Wolverhampton on their all-weather taffeta surface. So plenty to look forward to, and I'm joined in the studio by Paddy Aspel to look ahead to the action. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good, Mark. How are you getting on?
Yeah, not so bad, thank you. Not so bad. Pretty good time of year. We've had some big two-year-old races. We've got the Arc coming up next weekend. It's all go at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Just be interesting to see where postponed, because it's apparently that's what it's all about, isn't it? If people are hanging fire on their bets before to see the draw, isn't it?
Yep.
See what he gets. But no, it looks like everything's going according to plan. And I mean, he's been faultless postponed, and it's very hard to see any chinks in his armour. And like I say, it all depends on where he gets birth.
Yes, obviously pretty key, so keep an eye out for the draw later on in the week. That's part of the Monday jury questions as well, a little bit of an idea where Paddy might be leaning there then. So we'll get stuck into the Monday jury. First question is, how do you see the Kipco 1000 Guineas picture following the events at Newmarket? We do have betting out on site, obviously, for the 1000 Guineas as well, anti-post market, headed by Fairever and Spainberg, who are both 12-1. At the top of that market, 16-1 for Brave Anna and Queen Kindly. Roly Poly and Talayeb are also 16s, 20s for Dabyar, Subetsu and Spatial, and 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. What do you make of it, Paddy? Starting with Fairever, she's blotted a copybook a little bit last couple of starts.
She has, there's no doubt. I mean, I think she was, you would say, she suffered by how impressive she was first time.
Yeah,
people's expectations were set so high that, you know, both performance afterwards have no doubt been disappointing. I don't think it was as bad this time, but I just think the impression, I say, she created first time, she did have a lot to live up to, and there's no doubt she has been disappointing. And it'll just be interesting to see if connections can pinpoint anything, but you know, it did for me. I think that's just horses for you. I don't think we've seen the best of her, which is pretty obvious. But whether we'll actually see a repeat of her debut performance, I don't know. For me, at the minute, it's looking a little bit doubtable.
So, plenty of others in the market that mentioned. Any that you'd be keen to get on side at this point?
Well, I mean, I don't think there was. We've seen it so often with the O'Brien Yard. I mean, they do like to throw a lot of darts at the board, and you know, the fact that Brave Anna did win the other day, you know, it was, yeah, probably price-wise, it wasn't expected, but, you know, on the pure base of ability, she's more than capable, and, you know, it was, and it was no surprise to Aidan O'Brien. He was absolutely chuffed to bits, and like I said, it's something that we've seen in the past. Jamie Heffernan, and both him and Colm O'Donoghue have often popped up on the much less fancied ones, but I don't think she was winning out a turn, to be honest. And it was a very, very good effort.
Okay, 16-1 for Brave Anna in the market at the moment. It's a year where I haven't seen any two-year-olds really stand out in the fillies division entirely. Second question: would you aim Lady Aurelia towards the Commonwealth Cup or the King's Stand?
I think King's Stand myself. It's interesting just when you listen to Wesley Ward talk afterwards about how he operates with his two-year-olds. You know, they put blinkers on them all as two-year-olds for the whole season just to put a bit of speed into them, and then they'll spend their whole three-year-old season with no headgear on. And it's just something that they do. But it has come to light that she had a little bleed in after that run the other day. But I mean, I thought it was very admirable that he didn't make any sort of excuse for the performance the other day and said that everything had gone smoothly, because it looks that sort of Frankie has literally been training her, hasn't he, the last few weeks and overseeing things with her in the last few weeks while she has been in the UK. But no, he didn't make any excuses at all. It came to light there was a little bleed, but I think, you know, it was very admirable the way he accepted sort of defeat. But I think Lady Aurelia is up there again with Fair Eva. I think the impression that was left after Ascot, she has set the bar so high that now it was always, she wouldn't have had to do a lot wrong to be cribbed. She's got beaten at the weekend, and the time before that wasn't very impressive. And I'd probably lean more towards the King Stand for me, but I think I would love to see her on a bit of decent ground.
Yeah, it's a tricky question, really, isn't it? Because you'd say King Stand because of the 5 furlongs. Personally, I think she's better at 5, but then again, Commonwealth Cup, taking on the 3-year-olds, we know how hard it is to take on the older horses and sprinters at 3 years old. So it's a tricky one. Did best of days enter your calculations for the Colts Classic after his Royal Lodge win?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good effort. I just think at times, just such a he is a decent type, and it was another big winner for Hugo Palmer yet again. It was a decent performance. I didn't think it was anything spectacular. It wasn't one that, you know, you were amazed by, but you know, he didn't do anything wrong, and he seems to be a horse that's on the improve. But I don't know, for me, the jury would still be a little bit out at the minute.
Yeah, he's around about 33-1 at the moment for the guineas. Not too much impact in the market.
Yeah, yet. I mean, I think he's priced up accordingly there, to be honest, man.
Yeah. Moving across the channel, then, who do you think will win the Arc?
Well, look, like I mentioned a minute ago about postponed, I just think you can't see any chinks in his armour, and there's no doubt this horse has improved for the switching of the stable to Roger Varian, and he's just very professional. He's got it all. You know, he travels. I think him and Andrea Azzini, they're a match made in heaven, really, because Andrea isn't very easily ruffled in a race. Keeps things very simple, very smooth. But this horse has got all the attributes that you need, and just keeps things very straightforward. And I just hope he gets a nice berth for the big race. And I think he'll take an awful lot of beating, because he's just gone from strength to strength since he has switched to the Varian yard. And hopefully he's rewarded by landing that his main aim, which has been the Arc all year.
Yeah. Obviously, depending on the draw, if he gets a good berth, like you say, I think he's got real rock solid credentials. He's 7-4 at the top of the market postponed, and I think that's probably about right. Makahiki 5-1, 7-1 Found, Harzand 8-1, 12-1 Minding, and Order of St George 14s, New Bay 16s for 7th Heaven, and 20-1 Bar as it stands. Is Mecca's Angel a British banker in the Abbey, or do you fancy something else?
Well, it's just, I think connections have always said that she doesn't need to have this so-called mud bat. You know, she just doesn't want firm.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's as draw-biased this race anymore. And, I mean, God, she's looked faultless. And, you know, the owner has had an awful lot of luck with the fillies he's had. And, you know, they've campaigned her well. And, you know, on her day, she's been very, very impressive. Been a real proper stable star for him this year. And I think as long as, which I can't see it happening, doesn't come up with any sort of description of quick ground, she would take an awful lot of stopping, to be honest, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's no quick in the description, no firm in the description, and she repeats her Nunthorpe success, then then you'd say she'd be hard to beat, wouldn't you? 11-8, she's at the top of the market for the Abbey. Just Glamorous 8-1, Profitable 8-1, 14s for Brando, Kotai Glory, Eastern Angel and Gold Dream, Marsh also 14-1 as well, and 16s or bigger for the rest there. And final question of this week's Monday, Jory, what did you make of the weight for age scale changes announced on Thursday?
We had a quick chat about this yesterday when we were in studio, and I do think it's good, but I mean, it's no big deal, really. They've only tinkered with it slightly. You know, when I seen the headline the other day, I was looking forward to reading the article, and you know, by the time I'd read it, I was a little bit sort of underwhelmed. And yeah, they have tinkered with it, and I think early on in the year, sort of midsummer, the advantages that the younger horses get, you know, the pull at the weights, it is too much. So they did have to put a little bit of a curve on it. But yeah, for me, they've only tinkered with it slightly. I don't think it was anything drastic, but it certainly is a step in the right direction.
Okay, good stuff. That's the Monday jury then for another week. Let's leave that there and move on to Tuesday's racing. We've got four races prepared with Paddy, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday's action. We're going to look at a couple of races from Ayr. We've got a race at Sedgefield and one at Wolverhampton as well. We start in the 210 at Ayr, which is a Class 5 handicap. It's over 6 furlongs for the 3-year-olds and over a field of 8 to go to post here, Paddy. We'll start with Van Gogh, if we may, has a penalty to defy for a pretty comfortable success at Pontefract last time.
Yeah, and look, I think conditions in Scotland full stop. I mean, I rode a Hamilton the other night on Saturday, and obviously they're due to race there again today, and they had some awful downpours and very deep ground, and Ayr isn't all that far away on the west coast, and they've got, I'm pretty sure, it's soft, heavy in places ground now, so it's not going to be too pretty at all, and it's going to be hard work. But in fairness to Van Gerwen, he's handled a bit of cut. Whether he wants it this bad, it'll be interesting to see, but because, you know, there's one or two others in there that will certainly cope with conditions better than him. I mean, Be Bold is one of them, but he's got to come back to form, that horse. But Van Gerwen against his elders last week at Ponty, he was a very good performance. He was fast away, made all with Nathan Evans on board. Nathan is back on again tomorrow, so he takes a handy 5 off. But, you know, I think if he handles conditions, for me, I think he's still ahead of handicapper here. Although he's given weight all round, he's probably lucky in the fact that he's coming up against some, I won't say out of form rivals, but rivals that would find winning a fair bit more difficult than what he does.
Okay, so Van Gogh in the selection then, providing he handles the ground. I think it's changed again. I think it's now heavy, soft in places, so it's going to be real testing conditions at Ayr on Tuesday, so do bear that in mind. Moving on to the second race, we look at the 3 or 5 at Sedgefield. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over the extended 2 miles. We've got a field of 6 to go to post here, and Capshat's quite interesting. Paddy was second in listed company at Market Raisin at the weekend. Turned out quickly here, and a big drop in class.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, Ian Williams, he's having a very good time of things at the minute. We've seen he had a winner at Hamilton the other night and Market Raisin during the day. So he's been quite selective with his runners, and he's been well rewarded. But it was certainly a good run the other day, and I wouldn't put anybody off him. The one I did like, though, simply because he is reliable enough, and he was pretty impressive round here the last day, Venue. He was given a lovely ride by Will Kennedy, I thought. And he comes back here again tomorrow. And I just think course form, it's vital around places like this, Sedgefield, because, you know, it's a unique little track. And it's a place where Donald McCain likes to have plenty of runners, and he has plenty of success. And he's had a real good summer around here, to be honest, Donald McCain. And I was impressed with the way this horse won the last day. But it's no gimme, this race, at all, because, you know, you've got some good horses in there, even the Grey Taylor. If and but why not, if he came back to, you know, anywhere near his best, he's a very, very decent horse. But I do like course and distance form at Sedgefield, and this guy put up a fairly decent performance right near the last day, so I'll just give him slight edge, Venue
then, the selection for Paddy in the 3 or 5. Back to Ayr for the 5 o'clock next. This is a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, a field of 10 to go to post here. We'll start with Sir Billy Wright, if we may. Paddy arrives here in pretty decent form. Good third last time at Haydock. Wasn't beaten very far in a decent race. Had previously run well enough in the William Hill Air Gold Cup as well. So he's pretty consistent, if nothing else.
Yeah, he's been a good old horse down the years, hasn't he? And Clifford Lee rides again tomorrow. So in the conditions especially, you know, it's going to be well on in the card, second last race. The ground is going to be well opened up. So it's not going to be for the faint-hearted, this. And so £5 off could really prove vital. But the one I was going to go with, I was going to go against Sir Billy Wright, and I was taking a little bit of a chance to be on one of the older horses in Tiger Jim. I mean, he's got plenty of course form. same can be said for him. Whether he wants it as testing as this is remains to be seen, but he's got form on easy ground. But, you know, he certainly does like air. And, you know, it was a good run the last day. He was a little bit unfortunate, really. Didn't have a great run through and ran well to finish fourth. He was going to be my slight preference, but it will take a bit of getting this. And like I say, it won't be for the faint-hearted. But, yeah, slight preference there was for the six-year-old Tiger Jim to give Jim Goldie and Paul Moran the winner.
Tiger Jim, then the selection for Paddy there. I was just trying to look through his form, see if he's got any form in heavy ground. He has run on heavy ground in the past, but I don't think he's won on heavy ground, although he doesn't win too often, I suppose, does he? So
yeah, he's a tricky customer, yeah. And you know, the things do need to drop right, but you know, he was unlucky the last day, but he does know how to win, and he does have a fair preference for air, and I could see him running fairly well.
Okay, Tiger Jim then for Paddy there. Let's move on to the final race that we look at, the 7:40 at Wolverhampton. This is a class 4 handicap over a mile and almost a mile and three quarters, isn't it? It's for 3-year-olds, and although we've got 10 of them in the lineup here, we've got Be Perfect and Royal Reef who arrive here in winning form. Sabrasa and Tenzing Norgay also arrive here in a pretty decent nick as well. It's quite a competitive race, this, Paddy.
It is competitive. Tenzing Norgay, he's typical sort of recruit from this yard, improving 3-year-old, and you know, he's had a pretty decent time with both on the turf and on the all weather. The other one in there was Be Perfect. It was a pretty decent performance at Carlisle. I was given a nice ride, and Rachel Richardson takes 3 off here, but he's also got plenty of form on the artificial surface as well. Sabrassi is quite consistent, but does hit the crossbar a little bit too often for me. But I mean, the one I was going to go for was the William Knight, trained Jimmy Quinn ridden Royal Reef. I think his performance the last day probably didn't get the credit it deserved, because yeah, he was keen, and to be honest, over 2 mile, Jimmy Quinn was a passenger, really. But I thought once they'd gone half a mile, he sort of got the anchor down and he was back in control again. But he developed a massive lead. Even by halfway, he was probably 15, 20 lengths clear, and they could never reel him in. But you know, he's a horse that stays a trip, but he's not short of pace at all. Now, if the headgear can have the same effect this time, he looked like a horse. And he's a horse actually who's got a very good strike rate in the all-weather. I mean, he's 3 from 6 now. And he rarely runs a bad race. But obviously, his rivals are going to be a little bit more alert as to his tactics this time. So whether he gets an easy or as much rope on the front end, I doubt he would. But like I say, he's a horse who doesn't lack pace. And, you know, he didn't have a hard race to win the other day. So the fact that the handicapper has given him £6 for that win, he could still be in front of the handicapper and have a bit of rope to play with, if I'm honest, Mark. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Royal Reef go back to back.
Okay, Royal Reef, and to follow up for Paddy in the 7:40 at Wolverhampton, as usual, let's just have a little bit of a quick summary, Paddy, if you'll just relay your final selections for us then for Tuesday.
Yeah, my two selections up at Ayr, I went for, in the 2:10, Van Gerwen for the Les Ayr yard. Nathan Evans maintains a ride, takes £5 off, does like a bit of cutting the ground, but if he handles the test conditions, I think this improving 3-year-old is still capable of going back to back here after a good performance at Ponty last time. The other one in the 5 o'clock was Tiger Jim, a little bit of a tricky customer, but didn't get the greatest of runs through last time, so with a little bit more luck this time and handling conditions, I think Jim Goldie's horse could get himself back on the winning thread in the 5 o'clock. At Sedgefield in the 3:05, I went with Venue for Donald McCain and Will Kennedy. He's a course winner. Handicapper has had a say for his course win last time, but I say I do like course form round Sedgefield, and it's a track that Donald McCain really likes to have winners at and supports the track well, and I can see him going back to back there tomorrow. And then my last one was at Wolves tomorrow evening in the 7:40, and it was for Royal Reef. I thought it was quite a taking performance the last day. He did get a bit of rope on the front end, but you know, he's a horse who's responded well to headgear. Doesn't lack pace for a horse who stays a trip. and was probably value for more than the winning margin the last day, because he certainly wasn't stopping. And back down to a mile six tomorrow, I could see him maybe going back to back again, this horse, if not taking on too much early doors, because he is a horse who puts a lot into his racing. But Royal Reef to give Jimmy Quinn and William Knight a winner.
Superb. Good work, Paddy. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Cheers, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Paddy Aspel on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with myself, Mark Walton in the studio with Sam Turner and John Babb. We've got Ayr, Sedgefield and Southwell on Tuesday afternoon and Wolverhampton in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.